Hi everyone, this is Jack Lynch, radio and TV producer for Renewal Ministries. We will soon be switching our podcast to a new server, and this will require some action from some of you. We will switch to the new server for our podcast beginning the week of Monday, November 12th, 2018. Starting that week, if you don't continue to get the latest episodes of the shows as you normally do, you will need to make a simple change. First, delete the current podcast for the show and then resubscribe to it as you did originally. It's that simple and you won't lose any episodes. For any questions or problems, please call me, Jack Lynch, at 734-662-1730, extension 125. That's Jack Lynch at 734-662-1730, extension 125, or email me at jlynch@renewalministries.net. And thank you for listening to the show.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to make our way through St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, kind of wrap things up this week. The church has given us a set of readings as the first reading of Mass this week, I think 4 of the 5 days, talking about some of Paul's teaching, or giving to us some of Paul's teaching from this letter. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. I think the Lord gave us some real gold this week as we've been listening to the words of St. Paul. And these are words that are directed specifically at this moment to us. Obviously, he wrote it to this community in Philippi around 62 AD, but these words were breathed by God, right? They were inspired by the Holy Spirit to help each one of us learn how to walk in Christ and follow in the footsteps of the apostles. Well, yesterday I was speaking from chapter 3 of St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, where Paul talks about how he now assesses life, how the value judgments he makes about life have changed, having encountered Christ and his power, his beauty, his majesty, his humility, that is Christ's. Paul's whole life has been turned upside down. At one time he used to boast about who he was. He talked about he listed a whole set of things that he had put his confidence in. He said, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, also, if any other man thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised on the 8th day. I was from the people of Israel. I was from the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, I was a Pharisee. As to zeal, I persecuted the church. As to righteousness under the law, I was blameless. So Paul's like, he's boasting. He said, in the flesh, my accomplishments. He said, I used to evaluate myself and others in that way. I saw myself as being better than others. So earlier in the letter, Paul said, don't act out of conceit. Don't think of yourself as superior to others, mostly because it's foolish to do so. Because in the flesh, we can say, okay, Paul can look and say, well, look, I'm better than that Pharisee and I'm better than that person. Why? Because look at how perfectly I keep the law. I'm just better than them. But Paul's eyes were radically opened when he encountered God in Christ Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he saw the beauty and power and glory and holiness of Jesus. And his whole way of looking at the world was turned upside down. So he describes it this way: whatever gain I had, that is, whatever value I thought I had, I now count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Really, in receiving the treasure that is Jesus, everything else we used to think was a big deal just diminishes. I mean, the true sort of limit of its value gets revealed. And what gets revealed is the fact that your heart and mind, like St. Paul's, is meant to soar so much higher than anything in this world can ever bring to us and can ever attempt to satisfy in us. So Paul goes on in very earthy terms, as I mentioned yesterday, for his sake, I suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as refuge, as dung, like cow dung, right? In order that I may gain Christ and I might be found in him. We didn't get to verse 10 from this section that I wanted to get to. Now he said, I want to know him. What is Paul then saying? I've been given this gift of eternal life in Jesus, and I did not gain it on my own strength. This is not a reward for my capacity to save myself. The only thing that matters is getting to heaven, is heaven itself, is God. It's what I'm made for, and I'm fallen, and I can't get there because I'm full of ego and pride and sinfulness, and Jesus came to save me, to bring me there. And then Paul says, now, what do I want? What do I really value? Friends, he's writing a letter to friends here. He's saying, what I want now is I want to know him more. I want to know the power of his resurrection, and I want to share in his suffering. How about that for a goal in life, for a passion? What do I want in this life? I want to know the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection. He literally rose from the dead. I want to know that power. I want it to touch my life. I want to live in it. I want it to change me to become like Jesus. He said, and I want to share in his sufferings. That's a tough one for Americans to swallow. I mean, our whole life is based on never suffering, trying to avoid suffering at all costs. I want to share in whatever suffering Paul is saying, that the gospel, that being identified with Jesus, that living radically for Jesus will bring to my life. It's like, bring it on. I know there's a great mystery being united with Jesus in his suffering, and that's what I want. He said, I want to become like him in his death. Like Jesus in his death? Jesus was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with much grief. Look at how transformed his thinking is. I mean, compare it to the common wisdom of our age. Who do I want to be like in death? I want to go all the way for the rest of my life, if possible, on a big giant boat that belongs to me. Or I want to live on cruise control. I want life to be a giant experience of Disneyland or something. I want life to be a fantasy. I want to be happy all the time and filled with pleasure. What we don't understand is the only way we will ever get to our heart's fulfillment is to be completely identified with Jesus and to have the pleasure of knowing Jesus, have the joy of knowing Jesus. That's the only thing that will ever fulfill us. He said, so I want to become like him in his death, that if possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. So there's a goal-oriented disciple. I want to rise with Jesus. And so what do I need to do in this life every single day with every minute that I'm given? What do I need to do in this life to gain that? That's what I want. Think of how many goals we set in this life to gain things that will in the end leave us empty. So Paul's challenging us to live with the mind of Christ and to live like him. Right? He said, brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind now, I strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What's my goal? God is my goal. And it starts right here, right now. Friend, if you want to be free, to know freedom in your soul, if you want to know happiness, if you want to know peace, if you want to know what Paul's describing about his experience in life, you can have it. But this has to be your goal. Pursuing power, fame, wealth, pleasure, all that stuff in this world, it's going to leave you empty. It's a hard lesson for us to learn. It's a hard one for me to learn. But that's the way it is. It will never fulfill you. It's not great enough to fulfill you. You're made for more. Literally, you can have Jeff Bezos's money and you can spend your retirement on a 700-foot yacht that was handmade just for you and have people all around you who daily sort of bow down before you and tell you how great you are. You can have comforts beyond your wildest imagining, and you will die empty and unfulfilled if you don't have God at the center of your heart and the center of your life. That's a fact. Paul goes on. And he exhorts us. He exhorts the brothers there, sisters there in Philippi. And it's an exhortation that we need to take to heart and hear today. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice when? At all times. Rejoice in what? Rejoice in the Lord. How many things do we in this life seek to find joy in, and do we rejoice in? The inheritance I got to rejoice in. Nothing wrong with expressing a moment of gratitude and thanksgiving for receiving a wonderful inheritance or achieving a particular goal or whatever it is. But Paul's saying, as a disciple, you got to see it on a deeper level. The only source of ultimate joy, full joy, Jesus said he came to give us full joy, is the Lord himself. So he said, rejoice always, let all men know your forbearance. Keep forbearing, keep moving forward in the Lord, no matter what the trial, what the circumstance. Why, he said, because the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. He's here to give you strength for whatever circumstance you're living through. Verse 6, this is a challenge. Have no anxiety about anything. Now that's radical. I mean, it's consistent with Jesus' teaching from Matthew 6, right? Do not be anxious about what you're going to eat, drink, or wear. Guess what? We live in a world that's filled with anxiety. It's filled with anxiety because we're afraid. We're filled with fear. We're filled with the fear of death. We're filled with the fear of aging. We're filled with the fear of not having enough and not being recognized and not being special, whatever. We have all these fears in us that are rooted. There's a lot of anxiety. You know? Am I going to have enough money when I get old? Is there anybody in this world going to love me? Paul said, don't get trapped there. Don't surrender to it. The Lord is at hand. You don't need to live that way. It's going to lead you to trouble. It's going to lead you to discouragement and despair. It's going to cause you to want to escape the anxiety. And it's going to lead you potentially to addictive behaviors, you know, seductive temptations of the devil that are trying to get you to escape your anxiety, and either through alcohol or sex or whatever it is. People run to escape the pain that's inside, to medicate it. And none of that stuff will help. So what is Paul's solution? He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So pray constantly, he'll say at another place. That is, as you walk through the day, have a conversation with God. Remember who you are. Give thanks to him and bless his name, as the scripture says. Offer supplication. Lord, I give to you my anxiety. I give to you this fear that I'm facing right now. Lord, looks like some trouble ahead. It's kind of scary. I'm going to give that to you. Lord, I'm full of anxiety about my children. I find myself worrying constantly. But these are your children. You love them more than I do. Lord, I give them to you. I pray for them. Lord, I don't want my heart to be weighed down by fear and anxiety and depression and the rest. I want my heart to be free to love you, to love the Father, to love my neighbor. Paul wants us to live in that thanksgiving. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer, that's just conversation with God. Gaze on Jesus. Let the Spirit of God lead you to know the Father and the Father's love. Supplication. And pray as Jesus taught us to pray. That's really important. And ask for prayer, but with thanksgiving, knowing that God is good. You're not an orphan. You're not a hireling. You're a child of God. So let your requests be known to God. And he said, if you do this, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There's so much more in this passage. I just want to end with, toward the end of chapter 4 here. Verse 10, Paul says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity, said verse 11. Not that I complain of want, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. There's a man who knows who he is. And more importantly, he knows who God is. He knows and has lived in the experience of the power of God. He's writing a letter from prison, and he is content because the Lord is with him. And the Lord has given him the strength for every circumstance. Claim that truth for your own life, brothers and sisters, and live in it, and you'll walk in the peace of God. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.